had the Smith & Wesson 38 in her hand. On the other side of the road, JB had his Uzi set to rapid fire, while Dean and Mildred had their blasters ready for use. The engine of the WAG rattled, coughed, and died. On the last rattle, the rear exit door descended. It was a six-wheeled all-terrain vehicle, probably ex-military. It was armored, with opaque glass on the windshield and side doors, and nothing along the side. Instead of standard military colors, it was painted in red, blue, and green swirls that offered no camouflage and just made it stand out in the arid, dull landscape. Not that there was anywhere to hide. With a massed cry, six figures emerged from the rear of the WAG. All were carrying rifles of the type JB had found in the redoubt armory, and were dressed in one-piece suits that fitted closely to their bodies. Although of a uniform design, the suits were of varying bright colors. That two of them were female was obvious from their body shape, but their faces were hidden behind the opaque glass shields of silver helmets. They were unlike anything any of the companions had ever seen before, and the surprise this caused gave the anonymous attackers just the edge they needed to take the offensive. The air crackled as pulses of laser light shot from the crystals at the end of the rifles, searing heat into the dirt and scrub that raised clouds of smoke and left small trails of fire. The weaponry may have been impressive, but the attackers were poor shots. While the pulses of rapidly fired laser bursts even to the dirt in front of them, both Ryan and JB opened fire. Taking the man nearest to him, the armorer loosed a quick burst from the Uzi. It wasn't the optimum distance for accuracy with the weapon. It was enough to tear into the man's orange suit at knee level, the material ripping and spraying red as blood spurted from entry wounds. The man pitched forward, his high-pitched scream of agony muffled by his helmet, and his rifle flying off to his right as he threw out his arms to cushion his fall. Ryan opted for one of the middle two, a man in a dark blue suit and the tallest of the attackers. A headshot would have been the optimum for a quick kill, but the one-eyed warrior had no way of knowing if the opaque glass on the helmet was bulletproof. A chest shot would have been difficult because of the way the man was holding his laser rifle, so Ryan aimed lower, for the abdomen. He squeezed gently on the trigger, channeling all the tension and adrenaline into the perfect shot. The blue figure stumbled backward, doubling over and dropping his rifle, his hands instinctively flying to his stomach as though to stem the flow of blood that spread across the material of his uniform, turning it red. Of the remaining four, two dropped to their knees and shot a steady beam of laser fire that scorched up a trail of earth on either side of the blacktop, each headed for the scrub, where the two defending parties were covered.
Shit! Time to move!
JB knew that the laser would at the very least set their scant cover alight, even if it didn't actually touch any of the companions. Mildred was out of cover, rolling to the left of the scrub and coming to rest with her elbows braced on the ground, her left hand locked to her right at the wrist, steadying her aim as her finger began to move on the trigger. Three shots barked from her blaster. It was too swift for a perfect aim, but she was close enough to the moving targets to cause two on her side to cease their fire and duck, while Dean and JB took the opportunity to leave the now burning scrub and assume firing positions. The same was happening on the other side, except that it had become a race between Jack and Doc to see who could come up and fire first. Doc was surprisingly swift for such a frail-looking man. His deceptive strength was matched by a burst of speed that saw him roll and aim in a fraction of a second. But the albino was quicker. Death had always been Jack's trade. Hunting animals or people, it amounted to the same thing. The Colt Python barked fractionally before the roar of the Lama, causing the two attackers standing to their side of the road to dive haphazardly for cover that wasn't there. Things were now equal and also stalemated. With no cover for either side, it was a firefight that could only end in complete annihilation for one side. There was nowhere to run and hide as the laser rifles crackled their beams of intense light and heat, failing to find range because of the fire from the more conventional blasters. There were more of Ryan's people firing, but they had the problem of reloading, while the laser rifles seemed to have an indefinite life. Automatically, Jack and Christy had fallen into firing alternately to allow each other and Ryan more loading time, also covering Doc while he reloaded the Lama. On the other side of the road, JB kept up short bursts of Uzi fire, while Dean and Mildred alternated shots with their blasters.
Time for a little change!
The armorer laid down the Uzi and extracted the M4000 scatter gun. JB's favored shot from the blaster were barbed flechettes that would cause considerable damage, even at this range. Covered by Dean and Mildred, and pushing his fedora back on his head, JB lined up the M4000 and let fly with the scatter gun. barbed metal charge spread out in the air, scratching the paint on the side of the WAG, scraping the opaque glass on the helmets of the nearest two attackers, and tearing into their flesh. The thin material of their uniforms was no defense against the charge, and both went down beneath the hail of hot barbed metal. Whether they had been chilled was unimportant. It brought the brief and bloody firefight to a close, as one remaining male attacker kept up a covering fire, while the remaining woman hurriedly gathered the laser blasters, throwing them into the rear of the brightly colored armored WAG. That done, she climbed in and helped pull in the man whose knees had been ripped to shreds, and who had been attempting throughout the firefight to edge toward cover. The man covering their retreat edged toward the rear door, pausing only while the woman assisted one of those wounded by the flechettes to struggle into the WAG. With one last covering blast, he climbed into the WAG, the door slamming shut as the engine coughed into life. The WAG shot forward enough to complete a tight turn before screeching past them and back down the blacktop the way it had come, disappearing toward the horizon. Ryan and JB, on their respective sides of the road, had already signaled the firing to stop, and the retreat had been carried out with only the bare minimum of cover to stop the laser blaster taking accurate aim. It was pointless to waste valuable ammo on a retreating force. The companions regrouped on the blacktop, looking down at the corpses of the chilled attackers.
"What do you make of that?" Jack gestured at the corpses.
"Not see sec like that before."
"Or blasters like that. They're impressive when they work. No idea of how to shoot in a firefight, though."
"Perhaps just as well in the circumstances. Interesting that they should take such care to recover their arms, do you not think?"
Christie looked down the road, where the WAG had vanished over the horizon.
"They came from the way we were headed."
Dean pursed his lips, shaking his head.
"Hope they don't come from the ville we're headed for, then."
"Hold that thought, son, because we've got to press on. See what we find."
The map found by JB in the diner showed them that the remains of the blacktop was the main route from the redoubt to the remnants of Seattle. With the sparse vegetation surrounding, Ryan felt uneasy that his people would be exposed and in the open as they followed the route. On the other hand, at least it would be easy to see any other traveling parties. They continued the route in silence, the clear sky in orange-blue that shimmered under the rays of the sun as it beat down on them. What would be better, the acid rain and a cooler temperature, or the humid heat of the blazing sun, Ryan thought. He watched with concern as Doc seemed to wilt visibly in the heat, his overstressed body finding it hard to handle. Dean and Jack dropped back in order to help Doc, with JB bringing up the rear and not allowing the party to straggle too much. They were still tight enough to adopt defensive positions with speed if required, but so far the route march had been uneventful. Over the past half mile, the level of plant life, cover, and vegetation was growing thicker and more verdant, the previously empty horizon becoming crowded with the skeletal remains of buildings. They were now overrun with mutated growths, bizarrely colored flowering plants with thick, toughened stems growing up around the concrete. Ryan went over the advantages and disadvantages. The cover would protect them from the elements and hide them from any potential enemies, but it would also hold unknown hazards and hide any potential enemies from them. Casting his icy blue eye to the melting heat of the sun, feeling the sweat run down his forehead from his soaking hair, he reckoned that right then the shelter from the sun was worth any amount of hazard. Besides, the fact that they were reaching the ruins meant that they were approaching the outskirts of Seattle and their destination.
"Does the map give us any sign of how the hell we get into the tunnels and old subways?"
Mildred had to force every word through her dry vocal cords. They had been unwilling to use water from their canteens except at specified intervals, conserving the valuable water they had obtained from the ruined diner. Conserving it for Doc, if he needed more than the others. The old man was leaning heavily on his lion's head sword stick, the silver glinting in the sun.
"I must confess, I shall be glad to attain shelter."
Christie reached out to Ryan for the map.
"Can I look at it?"
The one-eyed warrior handed over the map, sensing that she wanted to try to feel any danger that may lie on the path ahead. He would never understand her moody sensibilities, but he trusted them implicitly. Christie took the map from him and studied the bare markings of the terrain. The Vale of Somptvogel stood alone and to the southwest of the city ruins as they approached it. The unnamed ville built beneath old Seattle stood in front, the entrance hidden somewhere amongst the undergrowth and concrete. Christie returned Ryan's intent gaze in a similar fashion, her hair, already close to her skull, plastered by sweat and the glare of the sun, clung even closer.
There's something... It's not right now, but there's going to be a problem. Gaia, I wish this wasn't so clouded.